Thiago Silva! Chelsea ahead. Kante from range deflected.
Oh, Jesus!
Back for Rudiger. That's the way to finish it. A goal made in Germany. And Tony Rudiger puts the cherry on top of the cake.
Europe is blue. America is blue, and now London is blue. What's up, Blues fans? Brandon London here, and welcome to Chelsea Mic'd Up, the official Chelsea FC podcast here in America. We wear the badge. I'm coming to you from New York, and I have my friends with me.
I'm Emily, coming to you from Chicago.
And this is Andre. I'm in D.C.
And I'm Lee, and I'm here at the training ground in Cobham.
All right, and look who's at the top of the table after a big result across the pond. Today's episode, we're going to look ahead to a massive week for both the men and women. And our men have a Premier League clash with Man City coming up on Saturday. Then a Champions League match against Juventus. And our women take on Manchester United. And since America is blue, we're going to be answering your questions in the CMU mailbag. And you do not want to miss the interview we have coming up for you all. Just like last week, everyone, we're recording a majority of this episode ahead of the men's debut of this year's Carabao Cup. So I promise you, you're going to get our reaction at the end of this episode on that performance. I promise you, I'm a man of my word. But now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, let's kick this thing off and show some headlines about what's going down in London and what's ahead in a packed schedule. So come on, you Blues. The men had a dominant second half performance, topping Spurs 3-0 in the London Derby this past Sunday. And there was a lot to talk about, from Kepa getting the nod to a brilliant performance by Brazilian Thiago Silva, a.k.a. O Monstro, and a fan favorite, N'Golo Kante, joining Silva on the score sheet alongside last week's pod guest, Tony Rudiger.
Do we have a pod bump? An official pod bump?
That's an official pod bump. Here is Chelsea legend Pat Nevin's reaction to the Spurs match.
That second half today was extraordinary, wasn't it? I mean, we absolutely hammered them out of sight. They couldn't get out of their own half. There were bits where even N'Golo was doing back flicks and things like that. It just got a bit ridiculous after a while. Do you know what? The only downside of today? It was only three. That's the only downside. Yeah. It was only three. And every Spurs fan would probably accept and acknowledge, we deserve to score more than that. We're so unlucky. But 3-0 and the goal scorers. I mean, for goodness sake, wow.
With that win, Chelsea sit atop of the Premier League table with quite a body of work to start for the first 5 weeks of the Premier League season. Undefeated. Yes, I'll say it again. Undefeated with only one goal conceded. The Blues record matches Liverpool, who we all know we drew 1-1 against, but we lead them in the table based on the tiebreaker for head-to-head away goals scored. So now we're looking ahead because we have a huge week in front of us on the men's side. First, a Premier League match clash, which was a rematch of last year's Champions League final against Man City, who are coming off of a draw with Southampton. Then we pick up our bid to defend the Champions League crown against Juventus on Wednesday. Now that's lots for the boss Thomas Tuchel to manage against, but we've got a deep bench to carry us through all these fixtures. Take a listen to Tuchel and Aspi on the start of the season so far.
Yes, I'm happy because, but it's also our job. We want to be competitive. I can only say we have to get better because I believe that everybody will get better in the league. It's only September, but when I said we want to get better, we are not on our very highest level. It's not an excuse for being competitive. We want to be competitive. I want to win every single game in which we compete, and this is what the club demands, what I demand, and this is what we are. We are self-confident, and the team shows that they can make it through different difficult situations and keep the belief up high. And today was another lesson. It's still stuff to improve, and we are very happy with the way we are able to produce wins consistently. This is important.
Happy with the start. We have played in tough places, but if something special has the Premier League is that any stadium is difficult, you know, at home, away. You played against strong opponents. It's just the beginning, of course. It's better to start the way we have done it than other different results. But, you know, I think it's important to be humble, to accept when we don't do that well. Yeah, we got the results. Sometimes we can play better. We know that our limit, you know, is higher, and we have to accept it.
Let's dive in first on the win over Spurs. Then we'll get into the upcoming set fixtures.
The role of N'Golo Kanté was so key, wasn't it? Sitting in the middle there, it just enabled the wingbacks to push higher. I think at some point midway through the second half, Marcus Alonso looked like he was a wannabe centre forward, and it was amazing. And Thiago Silva, of course, and there were a couple of occasions where his ability to read situations. In the first half, there was a couple of times, I think there was Kane was right on the shoulder of the last defender and looked like he was going to be through on goal. No, Thiago Silva there, in place, right time. Same again with Son as well, who is absolutely rapid. And this is a guy, when we talk about Thiago Silva, nearly 37 years old, and nobody was getting a yard on him, were they?
Speaking of him being 37, there's a concept we have here called old man strength. That goal was old man strength. That's how you do it right there. You jump over two Spurs players and you get the goal. I absolutely love that. And I love to celebrate. I think every celebration was great, especially in its own way. Kai didn't have to bend down so low to hug N'Golo Kanté. He could have just went with a little chest head pat, but that's okay. It's all good. Still love you, Kai. As far as for me, that conversation between Azpilicueta and Thomas Tuchel was so, like, it was such an awesome look for me, like, kind of inside the team, what the team looks like, some of the personalities within it and how it works together. I mean, you typically see managers chat with their players during any break of play, so that's not abnormal. But I think what was slightly abnormal is that Tuchel, if you watch that clip, because the broadcast here held on it for a long time.
Oh, yeah, they did.
During the break, you could see that Tuchel did a lot more listening than he did anything else. And I think that was really, really key. I thought it was a fantastic glimpse into their relationship and just a really collaborative kind of problem-solving approach, whereas Azpilicueta was kind of pointing around the pitch, talking, and, you know, I don't know what he was saying, but it seemed like he was pointing out problem areas. And then Tuchel was like, okay, I know what to do. He had Mason Mount drop down a little bit more and try to play that role. But then when you switch out Mason Mount for the all-around capabilities of N'Golo Kanté, then you have something ridiculous. And we saw that in the second half. Spurs had one shot. They actually had one shot on target in both halves. And in the second half, it was just Kane's long-distance shot that Kepa saved. That was it.
We talked about Endy so much last episode and just how incredible he's been for us. But he's banged up right now, and he wants to get back for that Man City clash. We don't know if he's going to be able to. We know that Kepa is a guy that came in on such a big contract, didn't work out for him right away, but it does feel like Tuchel has empowered him and has worked to restore his confidence. And that's so important because as we look at this season, Mendy's going to be gone for a couple of weeks when he has to go to the African Cup of Nations, you know, and Senegal makes it far. It could be 4 weeks without competition. We're going to need, you know, a Kepa out there. And yeah, he didn't get a lot of action, but it's good to see him back in the mix.
I think Thomas Tuchel has full faith in him. And I don't think that's just lip service. I think he genuinely does. He was speaking this week to the media and he said, I know he's fine. I know he's ready. I know he's confident. I watch him every day in training. And that's something that, you know we're privileged enough to see here at Cobham as well. But the communication is there. And they do have conversations on a daily basis. He wouldn't, you know, Thomas isn't one to, he wouldn't play players just on name or legacy. Or he's very much, you know, on the here and now. Do you deserve to play? He often uses the phrase, no gifts. So he won't play somebody if he doesn't think they're ready. And that'll go throughout the whole team. And that's the thing with the beauty, I guess, of the Carabao Cup. It's a competition that Chelsea are very passionate about. In its former days, known in other incarnations, it's the League Cup, and it's been known. When I was showing my age here, when I was growing up, it was the Milk Cup, the Rumbelows Cup.
The Milk Cup.
So there you go. So it's had very...
Did the winner do the Indy 500 thing and just like dump like
it should
milk? Because I found that so disgusting.
Their milk is better in Europe,
though. Celebration things I've seen.
See, we teach Lee words like bougie, and he teaches us about the milk cup. Like, it's a great exchange we got going here. Your next game is always your most important game. Is this a statement game or the first real statement game for our Blues?
I actually think this is a statement game for City. We just beat them for the Champions League title. Pep has had a hard time figuring out Thomas Tuchel's defense. And I think that Tuchel has a good record against Pep. He's one of the few managers that does. Mm. And so I think that a full-on league campaign is very different than just one match. But he knows how strong Chelsea is. He knows that we can go into Anfield and we can get 1 point even down to 10. He knows that we can have performances that made like the first half against Aston Villa was not great. It was difficult. And he knows that Thomas Tuchel changed that. And on the scoreline, it looked like a comfortable 3-0 win for Chelsea. So he knows that Chelsea's going to be there the entire time, throughout the season, you know, challenging them for the title, which is what they hope to win, obviously, and what we hope to win. So I think that Pep's got to figure out a way to try and take points off of Chelsea. And obviously, I think what Tuchel has to do is just make sure that you don't get found out. And I think it was a very smart move. And like we mentioned earlier, when we were talking about the Spurs match, Tuchel did a fantastic job in that match of managing. And I've seen a lot of chatter online about him, and I agree with it. He is the best in-game manager right now, because whatever it seems like another manager is trying to do, however they've tweaked their system to try to find space, create space against Chelsea, he figures it out and he shuts it down. So I think Pep has to figure out, and you know, whatever Pep's going to come in with, Tuchel's going to react to. Now, what can Pep do after that? So that's why I think the pressure is actually on City and Pep to figure this out, because he hasn't been able to so far.
Man City is always ominous, isn't it? We have to remember how, I guess, they started last season. I mean, they started well, but they dropped points. They lost. There were some big games. They lost 5-2 at home to Leicester. They dropped points at Leeds and West Ham. But my goodness, when they found their form around Christmas, there was no stopping them. And I know we're going to touch on it again a bit later. I mean, Chelsea's week is a busy, busy week, as is Man City's. If anything, theirs is probably a little tougher looking. For us, it's Man City at the weekend. We then travel to Italy on Tuesday for the Juventus game on the Wednesday. Then it's back home against Southampton. For Man City, well, they come to Chelsea. They'll then fly to France on Monday to play PSG away on Tuesday. They then travel back and then go to Liverpool, which is another huge one next weekend. So he'll be juggling his squad as much, if not more so, than Thomas Tuchel, knowing that they haven't had the best of starts. But my goodness, you know, we know how quickly things can change, especially in the Premier League, and it's certainly one not to look past. But tactically, as you guys were alluding to there, it's going to be fascinating once again to see these guys go head-to-head, with Thomas Tuchel obviously having the edge over his good friend Pep Guardiola last year. He'll want to continue that this year, won't he?
You keep saying words like up for it in a match that's early in the season. Can we just talk about what an early start this is going to be, especially for me here in the Midwest? I don't think I'm going to go out Friday night. I got to get up early, 6:30 a.m.
Do you need a wake-up call?
Yeah, I would love a Lee Parker wake-up call.
Done.
Yes.
And we've heard what's going down in London, but let's switch it up and let's go a little bit deeper on the hottest Chelsea news. I love to call this London on London. The Pulisic injury update. How does he fit within the team once he's healthy, given the stretch the team has been on?
Well, it's good that he's recovering. That's the most important thing. When he came back from international duty, he was obviously sidelined. I saw him today, funnily enough, out running on his own. So he's getting there. He had a smile on his face. The confidence is coming back. Hopefully we'll get him back sooner rather than later.
Can we remember how young this kid is and the fact that he has played in 79 appearances, and a lot of those coming off the bench, a lot of them battling injuries, and has still scored 32 goals and assists combined? That's like nearly a point or getting on the score sheet every other game. That's impressive. So this is a guy that can figure it out once he gets into the lineup. It's just a matter of getting into the lineup, because there's so many high-performing players that are available right now.
Speaking of high-performing players, our CFC women are breaking records during the international break. Now, we need a little AO, and that's Andre's opinion on this international roundup.
I'm really excited. I love to see that. You know, I knew they were close. I knew both Pernilla Harder and Ji Seo-yoon were close to getting those records. So I'm glad they both were able to get it in the same international break. But man, I'm ready to watch this team again. We had like a good run, you know, with a couple of matches, and then those international breaks. I simultaneously love and hate them. So I love to see some of the international teams play, but I'm like, I want to watch Chelsea. I want to watch these players play together. I don't want to see them playing for separate teams. But yeah, I'm really excited. Beth England as well, getting on the score sheet. for the Lionesses, who's have a new manager as well. So like, yeah, I've been really impressed by a lot of the performance from Chelsea players. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing them back together playing Manchester United at the weekend, which is what they got next on their fixture list. So yeah, I'm really happy and really excited for both of those players because they both deserve it.
And I'm not sure I'm ready to see Hannah Blundell in red, Andre. It's going to be so weird.
Is going to be that kind of, I don't know about for you, but that shocked me. That shocked me a little bit when I saw that transfer happened. So Hannah Blundell used to play for Chelsea and transferred to Manchester United, presumably to get a little bit more playing time, and she's getting it. And United's defense actually looks pretty solid, you know, given who they've played so far. They haven't quite been tested. You know, they haven't played a City. They haven't played an Arsenal or a Chelsea. But they have looked pretty solid. And same with Maria Thorisdottir. You know, she's another player that went to Manchester United from Chelsea. So, yeah, I think, and I kind of give them a shout out, you know, give them, you know, we gave you half your defense, so you're welcome for that. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how these teams play.
Today's LOL is not London on London. Sorry, everybody. It's Loving on Leave. Got some Ask Roqueta impersonation.
It's my
Twitter thread. I'm doing this no justice, Leave. Just hop in, please.
I will post it on social media. I promise. I love him to bits. I really do. He gives me a hard time. When we had sort of Chelsea TV as like the linear TV channel, we would do daily news reports and we would stand out on the side of the pitch and we'd watch the players come out. We'd almost do a bit of a head count. I would do a piece to camera. And then Aspie decided, I can't remember exactly when, he decided he was going to start doing impressions of me. And he would say things that I would never say. So he would walk in, hey, I'm Lee Parker. And he would just go off on, and he would walk past, I can't do it justice. He would walk past us and he would just do like this dummy pretend news report until he was out on the pitch. I was like, he's still talking. And after that, it just, and I couldn't help but like, every time he did it, I would just lose it. I'd start laughing.
Hey, Lee Parker. And this is Chelsea first team training.
How
are
you?
I have to.
What do you mean you have to?
Hi, I'm Lee Parker. This is Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
I can't help but smile. I love him. He's a joker, but it's I think it's important for people to see that side of him because people love him as a leader and as a captain. And the captain that he's become is something pretty special.
I can't wait until the episode where you just pop up here on the video chat and it's Ask Laquetta and it says, hi, I'm Lee Parker. This is Chelsea Mike.
That's today's segment of LOL, not London on London, Loving on Lee, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Brandon.
I think that should be a reoccurring segment right there because that was absolutely hilarious.
Next up, we've got an interview with Olivia Bazzaglo. She's a presenter and reporter for Premier League Productions, as well as Proper Chelsea. Take a listen.
Olivia Bazzaglo, Chelsea fan extraordinaire, Premier League Productions presenter. How are you, my friend? Good to see you.
Lovely to see you too, Lee. Yeah, I'm really good. It's been a great start to the season. So, yeah, all positive at the moment.
It certainly is. We see you pop up in pretty much press conferences. You've gotten to know Thomas Tuchel virtually as well. You must be super impressed with what you've seen from him.
Can't wait till I can get to know him, like, not virtually, you know, when we can actually start going to press conferences again, because I've loved, like, just seeing, I think he's been exactly the same. I got asked this when I was working, what he's been like from the start till now. And he's been exactly the same. His demeanor hasn't changed. I love that you can see the tactician in him when he's talking. He's so likable. And just the job he's done from the moment he's come in to now is just remarkable. And long may it continue because I'm really enjoying it.
I want to know how you got into this. You know, how did you become a football fan, specifically a Chelsea fan?
Do you know, I've actually got quite an interesting story about how I became a Chelsea fan. So my dad, when he was younger, his family were just more involved in cricket, his dad specifically. So he wanted to get into football. He wasn't sure how. He didn't support anyone. When he was a young boy, he went to, I don't know how he got tickets, but managed to go to an FA Cup final. It was like the late 60s or early 70s. And Chelsea played Spurs that day. And my dad went to that game and said he was going to support whichever team lost. And Spurs beat Chelsea that day.
So when you were a fan because Chelsea lost.
Yeah, like how close I could have been to becoming a Spurs fan and being as passionate as I am about Chelsea. About
what
Spurs.
A blessed day it
scares
was then.
Me. sort of scares me a little bit. I was young when I went to my first game. It was really funny. My dad said he was a striker and I was like, I want to be a striker. And he said, okay, I'll give you £2 for every goal you score. And on my first game, I scored 7. And he was like, that's not happening. Like, no, you can have £1 a goal. Like, that's the max. And yeah, I played all through my teenage years, loved playing at uni, played for Maidenhead, played for QPR. I was lazy. Like, I couldn't be bothered to train. Like, honestly, Lee, when I was training, I would be like, stood with a defender marking me watching Chelsea in the Champions League on my phone because I like didn't want to miss a game, and I just wasn't like before the game I was just a bit like, oh, I just want to turn up and play. And then when I started working, I sort of had to make a decision many games, like this season, because I've been working a lot more weekends, it just so happens that whenever I'm working, it's the day Chelsea are playing, so I haven't been able to get to many Premier League games. But any midweek Champions League, I'll be there, and any weekend that I'm not working, I will 100% be there because I love it. It's like one of my favorite places to go. It's like my second home.
Absolutely. Your fandom is so shining through and I love it. Like even just you talking about watching it on your phone when you're working out with friends. What excites you most about this year's team?
Oh, I mean, I'm trying not to get too excited because everyone around me is saying, I've heard Chelsea can go invincible this season. Who's going to beat Chelsea? They're going to win the league. And I'm like, oh, like I'm trying not to get too excited. I'm optimistic. Of course I am, because I think we've got the best squad in the league in terms of like depth. I mean, City's is also great, but in every position, we've got one or two players that would still be, you know, a brilliant team that could challenge. And Romelu Lukaku, and everyone talks about him being the missing piece. And I think he is. And I think the key to this season is keeping him fit. If we don't keep him fit, I think not that we're going to have issues, but he makes us title contenders. And yeah, I think everything this season is getting me excited. You know, we look solid. Our defence looks rock solid. We don't look like conceding. And I think also what I'm more excited about is our actual attack starting to click because, you know, we've had games where they haven't necessarily, like Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, haven't necessarily clicked with Lukaku so much this season. But when they do, it's almost like, well, we're playing this well without that happening. So when that does happen, it's just going to go to a whole new level. And even players like Timo Werner and Romelu Lukaku, we saw it within 2 minutes of them being on the pitch together against Spurs, that's also a link up that I personally want to see more of. And I think can be really, really good and really effective going forward. So, and there's so much to be excited about. I can't pick one thing. I'm sitting on the fence.
No, I'll take it. But it's interesting. You talked about Man City and you talked about pre-match nerves. That is one game every year I always suffer. I always get nervous ahead of irrespective of the record last year, the Champions League final. It's one of those games. Well, I don't know.
I'm like sitting here thinking, they've got to beat us at some point. Like we've literally beaten them the last four times or whatever. Tuchel's beaten him the last three. And like, obviously the Champions League final being like the peak, but I was like, sooner or later, they've got to beat us. But I go into this game with the fullest confidence. I know they beat Wickham, obviously, midweek, but I don't think that's necessarily going to give them the confidence to then play us because it was a really disappointing result for them against Southampton, but also not just a disappointing result, they didn't play very well. They had one shot on target and that came in like the 90th minute or really late on. So we're in a much better position.
I was not feeling okay. And now talking to Olivia, I'm feeling a little better.
Good. I'm glad I'm making you feel better.
Honestly, Olivia, my nerves are about waking up in time because it's at 6:30 a.m. here in Chicago. So it's going to be an early night for me Friday. I know.
I've told you. It'll all be worth it.
I know. No, Leah's promised. I'm taking him up on it. It'll all be worth it
if we win. Imagine. Oh.
Totally. That celebratory post-game nap is going to be epic. I will just be in bliss on my bed.
I love it.
Olivia, one thing I actually want to ask you about, because Saturdays in here in the US, I typically watch Premier League football. And then on Sundays, I watch the NFL because I love fantasy football. And I understand you're the queen of fantasy football, but Premier League style. So I have known nothing about it. High level, like what are your tips? What type of players do you look for? Because I obviously think I need to get into this at some point.
I tell you now, it's one of the most addictive games and it causes me far too much stress than what it's worth. But each year I continue to play it. I always say it's a marathon, not a sprint. So I'll be judged when the season ends, right now.
Same here.
I've got Lukaku in my team. I think
that's a good tip.
A must. I've got Cristiano Ronaldo. He's a must. Mo Salah. He's a must. But also, I think this now, coming into Chelsea, maybe after City, Chelsea have got a lovely run of fixtures. And if I was an FPL like manager, I would be looking to get in at least one Chelsea defender, if not two, because we just look so solid. We literally don't look like conceding a goal. And I know, obviously, we will at some point.
The way we play fantasy football for NFL, offensive players all get points for what they do, right? Like the carry the ball or catch it. But the defense is all grouped in one, and it's just the defensive points together. So I love that it's individual players.
Emily, I'll tell you about the Premier League, Fantasy Premier League, and you can tell me about the NFL.
Perfect.
Genuinely.
And we're going to rule the world.
Right, you talked about defenders, Liv. I'm going to pick out one. We talked about him on the pod a couple of times, actually. Thiago Silva, 37 now. And he's just getting better and better with age, isn't he? He's incredible.
I haven't got enough. I've literally tweeted this. I literally haven't got enough words to describe how good he is. And the only wish I have is that we had him 5 years earlier, because imagine how good he would have been.
I know what you mean. And there's been a couple of times this season, and Spurs being one of them, where I'm desperately trying to objectively watch the game and I'm writing notes. I'm just watching him. I watched him for like 10, 15 minutes. I thought, it's just incredible. He has this ability to see things 5-10 seconds before anybody else. His reading of the game is insane.
It's just fascinating. I've done that a few times, like when I go to Stamford Bridge and just watch that and play. We did it a lot with Hazard. He's, like you said, Lee, a step ahead of everyone. And, you know, naive of a team to think that he would be a weak spot, you know, in that defence. He's not the quickest of players, and I think that's why they put Son on him. But that just, like, John Terry was never the quickest player out there. But when you can read the game like that and you've got such a football brain, you just don't need it.
You're literally giving me so much right now, because now next time I watch a match, all I want to do is follow one player, because it sounds like such an interesting perspective on watching the match.
Before we let you go, I have to ask you, what can Chelsea achieve this year?
Everything. Do you know, I would put us as one of the favourites for the Champions League, probably alongside Bayern, PSG, maybe Man City, Liverpool. Like, I think there's quite a few teams, but I think we can win the Premier League. I think we can. And I think not that you want to focus on one competition, but we won the Champions League last year. And as amazing as it would be to win the Champions League again, and I think we can, I would love nothing more for us to win the Premier League this season. And I really think we can.
I think so too. Olivia, I'm totally going to follow up with you offline about those fantasy football tips. And before you go, tell our listeners where they can follow you on Twitter, because I contend you're an incredible follow.
Thanks. I am just Olivia Bazaglo, at Olivia Bazaglo on Twitter. I try and keep it, you know, a lot of Premier League clubs, but unfortunately, it just narrows down to a lot of the 99% of the time I'm chatting about Chelsea. So, yeah, if you want to see me tweet, just about games, about anything, really. I just sort of chat rubbish about Chelsea, which is great.
Never.
People seem to like it. So, yeah. That's where you can find me, just at Olivia Bazaglo.
Thanks so much for your time, and we'll see you again very soon.
See you later. Thank you.
We want to see how blue you are. We want to hear from you. You can tweet us at ChelseaFC in USA using the hashtag CMU mailbag. Our first one comes from FredAce711 from Boston. And he asked, are you worried that we could eventually get figured out? What keeps us a step ahead of everyone else?
Easy answer. It's our depth. I mean, we talked about all these guys on the bench, but it's not only that. We've had 11 different goal scorers this season. 11. It's not just the Lukaku show. A lot of guys are contributing, and we've got a lot of guys who can contribute, just haven't been given the opportunity yet.
When you say figured out, you know, you make it, it almost sounds like there's like a gimmick or there's like a trick that Chelsea's kind of doing in these matches. But what it is a really solid structured system where everybody knows what everybody else is going to do and knows their assignments. But then within that, you have players who are individually talented, individually brilliant. So, and he's allowing those players to do what they do within that system. And that's what's so difficult to figure out. It's not just, you know, having a system and somebody being able to figure it out. Because as you mentioned in this, as we mentioned in the Spurs match, they were able to find spaces and then Tuchel shut it down. And then from then on, the individual brilliance of the players got 3 goals on the board. So yeah, I'm not worried about that. As long as we keep, you know, as long as we have some of these incredible players and people stay healthy, I'm not too worried about us being figured out, because I think we're already a step ahead. As what Emily mentioned, the answer is because of the depth.
Yeah, I don't see us getting figured out anytime soon. But hey, keep sending us your questions, and please send us the good questions like my man Fred Ace over here. You know, don't ask, what type of bubble gum does Thomas Tuchel eat? No, give us some questions so we can get the conversation really flowing. And we want this fan engagement going, because, you know, we bleed blue, you guys bleed blue, and we're trying to really build this continue to build this Chelsea community within the USA. And you can send us these questions by, again, tagging at Chelsea FC in USA with the hashtag CMU mail. mailbag, and we'll answer them on next week's episode. So, you know, now's that time for our final parting thoughts.
Sometimes I believe in things that are cosmic. Sometimes I don't. I just got to say, how strange is it that at this point in the season, us in Liverpool have the exact same amount of goals for and goals against. But not only that, like, yes, we had Drew try with them, but first game, 3-0, second game, 2-0, them two, we pride each other, fourth game, 3-0, fifth game, 3-0. That's wild. We've literally had the same exact results as them. We are so even at the top of the table, and I can't wait to play them again so we can finally beat them.
One thing with the big number nine is that sometimes you think that, you know, as soon as they get the ball, they're just going to shoot or always look for the net. Lukaku is so advanced in this at this stage of his career where he will give a pass right back, or he'll construct a goal for someone else and deliver an assist. And I think some of the players they're not quite on the same page just yet, but you can see it happening. You can see it. And when it actually clicks, and when these players start, you know, expecting the ball back, you know, when they start finding Lukaku or allowing him to even drifted wide in a lot of cases in this against Spurs, and was able to combine. I think he was 100% on his dribbles. It was amazing. And so, yeah, I think shout out to him for having an amazing game without an assist or a goal, but it's coming. It's coming. We've already seen him score, but it's coming. That front three is just going to be really, really nasty as soon as everybody gets on the same page.
Cannot wait for this weekend. Cannot wait for next week either. First trip to Juventus for me. It's a fascinating tie, that one. I know we'll talk about it next week, but Juventus, you know, the old lady, as they're affectionately known, and such a huge team in the annals of history when it comes to, you know, Serie A and Italian football. They've not had a great start. They've not won in Serie A yet. Lost 2, drawn 2. They beat Malmo in the Champions League 3-0. Interesting to see Alvaro Morata, who's a great guy. Can't wait to catch up with him. He's on good form, actually. He scored in the last 3. Let's hope that dries up in time for us to visit Turin next week. But really looking forward to that. Okay, guys, here we are, as promised. Quick bit of reaction following our very dramatic progress in the Carabao Cup. It finished 1-1 between Chelsea and Villa here at the Bridge. 4-3 on penalties. Andre, dramatic. Doesn't sum it up, does it?
It really doesn't. This was quite a match. In fact, it was almost like your quintessential League Cup match, right? Where it was really tight at halftime, and then Chelsea ended up scoring. And I actually thought Chelsea had the control of the match after the goal. It looked like we were going to get another one almost straight away. It looked amazing. And then all of a sudden it turned and did one of those typical League Cup roller coaster things. And then we all of a sudden ended up in penalties.
So sat in press box, actually, drinking coffee at 10:15 in the evening. A good idea, but there we go. I wanted to ask about Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah, that was actually a surprise for me. I didn't expect to see him in that position. I thought he would be up in one of the attacking positions, you know, in the front three. But having him down there in midfield playing was a spectacular move. He was so good. He looked so comfortable and natural in that role. And in case people forgot, he's quite a good dribbler. All the little moves he makes to just evade pressure and just get around. I mean, he can just breathe. It's like he can be in front of a player and then he can be running behind them in no time. He just shifts the ball so quickly, so well. I loved him in this role, and I hope we get to see more of it. The crowd was off their seats, and so was I, because I just like him back in Chelsea colors, you know, in Chelsea blue, playing for Chelsea. You know, like we all had the kind of vision of the Academy boys coming together, and then they were going to be like the new crew. And it hasn't quite looked the way we may have thought in our dreams or in our little FIFA saves, you know, when we play the games. But seeing him come in into the match and play the way he played under Tuchel and in Tuchel's system, and to performance like that, makes you be like, okay, this is the Ruben we've been wanting to see for such a long time. And we really saw many more than glimpses of it. Like, he had a fantastic match. I think full 90 minutes he played, and he had a fantastic match. I get really excited at seeing players like we talked about it a couple of weeks ago with Kovacic going on that run, that dribble that set up Lukaku. Very, very, very similar things to what Ruben can do. It was just fantastic to see him drift by players and then carry the ball through midfield. It's one of my favorite sights of seeing. He's been one of my favorite Academy players for quite a while because he's so big, but he's so skillful on the ball.
Interesting game today, wasn't it? 10 outfield changes, of course. It was going to be disjointed because of that very reason. But
What a second half. And I guess we have to talk about the in-game management from Thomas Tuchel once again, though.
Yeah, we absolutely do. I don't know. It's not even, it's almost not even halftime changes, but he certainly tends to elevate even more after halftime. Like the team goes in and they just, because after halftime, they look like a different team. Like I said, got the goal. I'm so happy for Timo Werner, too. He really needed that goal, I think. And so that was a fantastic goal to get him. And they started making some little moves, finding a lot of space and being able to get him behind. And then, like I mentioned, it's just the roller coaster of how these matches go. Suddenly it's like, oh, no. And to be fair, I will be fair to Aston Villa. That was a fantastic header. That was a fantastic header. I was like, when I saw it hit the bar, I was like, oh, no, I know exactly the direction that's going in. But it was a fantastic header. Well-deserved from Archer. But, you know, we stepped it up in the penalty shootout as we do and kept got it done. Lukaku's penalty, I thought, was excellent. Not just power, just he sent the keeper the wrong way before he kicked the ball. Like he still had another stride. And the keeper was all the way, like, dove and gave him the other half of the goal to shoot into. I thought the overall performance was great. And Saul, I thought he also had a much better game than we saw in the first match against Aston Villa. And I think it was a good and really smart man management move from Tuchel to put him in and say, hey, last time you played this team didn't go quite as well. Let's see what you can do against them again. And I think he did much better. I liked this version of it much better than the first.
Onwards and upwards. Man City next, Andre. Doesn't get much bigger than that.
So. It sure doesn't. The matches keep coming. They keep flowing. And we got Juventus in the Champions League. And it's just going to be great. So, yeah. I'm excited.
Make sure you all are cheering loud and proud for both of the clubs. Remember, you can find anything and everything on Chelsea through the Fifth Stand app. I love that app. That's such an engaging app. You guys got to check it out. And when it comes to this Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a mama. We want blue flags flying high across all of America. Thank you again for joining us. We'd love to hear your feedback. See you all next week. And let's go Blues.